Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Paxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute segment, we're going to be encouraged and empowered in our purpose, in our process, in the Word of God, in the will of God, even through trouble, trials, and tribulations. God has a plan for our life that's greater than where we've been or where we are now, and His purpose for us is taking us to the destiny that He has for us. And we trust Him and know that as we trust and believe His word, rely solely on Him, then we know that His will be done in our life. We're growing and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every single day as we apply the word of God to our lives in every situation. And we know that God has a plan that we will be able to empower not only our lives and the lives of those in our family, but in our community, on our jobs, in other places. We're going to be able to touch, reach nations and every generation and every creed if we allow God to use us. We've been studying unlikely places of blessings, unlikely places where God blesses His people, the place where it seems like God can't come through, that it, no way can be made, that this is the place that you can't even see promise. But God uses these unlikely places to bring a miracle in your life, to be a blessing unto you and those around you, and to save many lives, to encourage many people. We see this in the book of Esther where we started off, that she was in exile. God uses that place of exile to bring her to a place of promise, of authority, but also to bless the nation of Israel, to save them, and to bless her cousin Mordecai. We see this also with Joseph, and we see how God used an unlikely place, sending him before time, sending him before the problem happened, to that place of destiny so that he would be prepared to rule, and not only rule, be mature in his ruling so that he can be a blessing to a nation that does not know or recognize his God, but will understand his God and save his life, his brother's life, and the nation of Israel. God uses that unlikely place to mature him and grow him and to prove to him that he's faithful in an impossible situation. We're looking still in the book of Genesis, looking at Jacob, and we're dealing here in an unlikely place of blessing that has a character issue, character change, and we see that God will do that. But in the midst of him going through that process of being changed, God blesses him beyond measure and makes covenant with him. So we're going back there today to the book of Genesis, looking at the 31st chapter and going through that. Jacob has been blessed by his father. He leaves and he's going to his uncle's house, his mom's brother's house, Laban, and before he gets there, he has moved from the comfort zone of everything around him that is familiar, his father, his mother, his brother, his servant, anyone else around him. He's moved from that place, and now he's solely on his own. So he's fearful for his life and for his future. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He has a word and a blessing from his father and a promise that God gave to Abraham and Isaac passed to him. But he himself is getting ready to get an encounter with God. He goes to sleep, putting his head on a rock, and God visited him in that night time with a dream. And that lets us know that no matter where we are, even in a night season, even in a night place in our lives, God will visit, God will speak and give direction to where we're going, to our future. So we see that he does that. He makes a sacrificial praise and altar unto the Lord in this place. And when he does, he puts it there and pours oil on it to commemorate that God visited him, that the God of heaven visited him, that God came down and visited him, and God made a covenant relationship with him. And so he puts that altar there to remind not only him, but every generation that will come through him that God made covenant with him at that particular place. And there are times in our lives and places in our lives that require us to give God a sacrificial offering, more than the regular thanksgiving or praise. But God has done something so wonderful and great in our life, it requires us to give him a sacrificial offering of praise, of worship, where we lose ourselves and we go in and we don't worry about time and we are thankful unto God and we bless his name
and we lay prostrate before him and we just reverence him. There are times where God really wants us to do that, and especially when he's done something so awesome in our life that we ourselves could never do. He requires that. Jacob calls this place Bethel, and this means the house of God. God appeared to him just as he appeared to Abraham near Bethel in Genesis 12, verses 7 and 8. So God is showing him here that just as I spoke to your grandfather, I'm speaking to you, and the way that I appeared to him near this place, I'm now appearing to you. And so God wanted him to understand that even though there are things in his character that he doesn't like and things in his character that he doesn't know how to change, God still has made covenant with him, because God always uses imperfect, unlikely people to do a work for him. If we were perfect, then we would not need God, but there's no one perfect but God. No one perfect but God. And God always uses that. Our place where we see God demonstrate his power is always in the place where we ourselves are messed up, or we don't understand how we're going to get out. God demonstrates his power in those places the best. And it looks crazy because it's an unlikely place. We see this all throughout the Bible. God always used the place where we couldn't understand how we're going to get out, or how a way is going to be made, or how he's going to demonstrate his power to show up and do the miraculous in our lives and for us, because he's God. He wants an audience to see him in action. He wants an audience to see his power. He wants you to believe that he's well able. And if you can believe and receive that, then you're going to see the demonstration of God's power in your life in an unlikely way. Jacob makes a vow right there unto the Lord, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I'm going to he's going to give me bread, and he's going to clothe me, and he's going to allow me to go back to my father's house. And he's going to keep me in peace. If he's going to do all of these things, then I'm going to make covenant with him because of what he said, what he's going to do for me. I'm going to make a covenant with him. And Jacob knew that the covenant that he was making with God was based on what God had promised him. So he was basically saying, if you're going to do what you're going to say, you're going to do in my life, and you're going to show up in this miraculous way, and you're going to keep me in peace and keep bread on my table and keep me fed and be with me and bless me, if you're going to do all of these things, then I'm going to bow to you, that I'm going to do everything that you said. And sometimes the Lord will allow us to say things like that because he wants us to be assured in who he is unto us. And there are times when we're walking in a place where we need God to show us himself, to show us his greatness and his power, and he will. But then there are times that he goes and says something like, blessed are those who believe and have not received, that you just believe God and you've seen absolutely nothing. You've seen no evidence, but you believe the word of God, and you trust that because he's God, and he can't fail and he can't lie, that he's going to do what he said, and you see no evidence whatsoever. There are places in our lives where we do say, God, if it can't be done, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it, and I need you to show up right now. And God will, but he'll do it because he is. He shows us the evidence of his hand, that he hears our prayers, that he's with us and he's for us. But then there are times when we just have to believe God just because he's God and he's well able to do it. He vows. And when he vows to God, Jacob vows to tithe unto God 10% of all that God gives him. He knows that God is going to bless him, and he vows to give God 10% of all that God gives him, which is a tithe. He's given God a tithe, and he promised to do this based on what God said that he was going to do for him. So he was giving God what he knew was right, what he knew was due to God. Abraham did this in Genesis 14 and 20. He did this with Melchizedek. He gave, and Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, and he gave him 10%. So we see that God requires us to give a tithe unto him, an offering unto him, even a sacrificial thing. We see this in Deuteronomy 14 and 22, where God begins to give to Moses, and Moses writes it and said that God requires us to give him a tithe, that he requires us to give him 10%. And so that's what's due him. Even in the garden, God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat off every tree in the garden, but this one right here, that's 10%. Don't eat off of this one. And so he was letting them know, giving them the principles of tithing and offering, even that. You can have all the rest, but give me this. Don't touch this. And so we see that. In the 29th chapter, we see that Jacob comes to this place where he doesn't know and has not been before in the east. And this is not in Canaan. These are not Canaanites. These are people that are more in that are in the nation of Israel, and they're close to his people and close to the kind of his family. And he goes there. He meets Rachel at the well, and where she's watering her father's sheep. There's also other shepherds there, and he asks about Laban, and they explain that they know him. And she comes at the right time. God allows a number of significant events to occur at wells, and we see this throughout the Bible, that the well means it's a symbol of blessing and care. The well is always a symbol of blessing and care. The Bible lets us know that wells of living water will spring up from us, which means blessings and care. It's going to spring from us living waters of blessings and care of God and of his word. It's going to spring from us as we allow God to do a work in us, and we allow the word of God to be engrafted in us in such a way that it brings and provokes the life of God to be manifest in ways that we could never ever see or know before by our faith. And so we see that God allows the well. We see the well with in Genesis with Isaac, when Abraham sent his servant to go find a wife for Isaac. His mother, Jacob's mother, Rebecca, is there, meets at the well. The woman with the issue, the woman who's in Samaria with Jesus, comes, and she's at the well. So we see that there's the places in the Bible, old and new, where the well is significant to the blessings and the care of God. And I want God to always show a well of favor, a well of blessings, a well of care in our lives, that he shows us that he's able to spring up in us, provide for us, give to us, nourish us, teach us, restore us, wash us, cleanse us, give us all that we need with the will of his living water, the will of his word, the will of his blessings, the will of his will. And so as we stay to the well, that well of God, pulling and drawing on God to be that well of life for us, we will receive those blessings as well. God's timing is always perfect, and you have to understand that. Everything in our life, I don't care if it looks like it's out of sync, it's not in time, it didn't happen the way we thought it was going to. God's timing is always perfect, and we see this in the Bible. He always shows up in the perfect time. He always allows the people to show up at that right moment. Rachel shows up at the right moment and the right time to meet Jacob, just as Rebecca shows up, as I said before, at the right time to meet Abraham's servant for Isaac. God's timing is perfect. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's going to happen. The timing of the Lord is always perfect. Even in the book of Ruth, we see that the timing of Ruth and Boaz was perfect. It was perfectly timed because he showed up at the time that she was going to be there. No matter what's going on, whether it's a business deal, whether someone you need to meet, something that needs to happen, occur in your life, if God has orchestrated and ordained it to happen, then the timing of the Lord will always work in your favor. It's always going to turn out the way that it needs to. You're going to get there just in time for that, to hear something or to stop something or to do something or to meet someone. God will always allow that to happen, and it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what location you are. If the Lord is ordering your steps and ordaining your steps, you will always move in the direction of what God says as long as you trust him and obey him and follow his lead. There's nothing God will deny from you or keep you from. Let him order and ordain your steps. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, encouraged in the word of God. I pray that you've been encouraged and know that your steps have been ordered. God's got you in his time. He's going to do something for you that's miraculous. Always remember to give him praise, thanksgiving, and give him his tithe. Give him what is due his name. And watch him bless you beyond measure. Watch them show up in your life. Have a blessed day knowing that you are headed in the direction of God's divine will, even if you're in an unlikely place. Expect the blessings of God. Expect him to move in your life and do the miraculous. Have a blessed day. We'll see you here tomorrow at the same time.